Yeah, I can tell you really that you really enjoy serving, I mean, serving our local community, serving the in the National Guard. I mean, that's yeah, obviously wearing two different uniforms. That's pretty tremendous. So thank you for your service on
I
both
appreciate
sides
that, Chief.
of the
Thank you.
ball. Yeah, okay. Good morning, everybody. I am Chief Alan Lawson. I'm the Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Washington National Guard. And today I have the honor and privilege of interviewing on this podcast, second ever, Sergeant Matt Sproul. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Chief?
I'm doing great too, man.
Happy to be here.
Happy to be here.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me, did you work last night?
I did not work last night, no.
Okay. Because obviously, talk about, you're a sheriff's deputy.
Yeah.
I guess talk about your shift and your duty there.
Shift and duty. So typically, I work, right now I'm graveyard, so I work 8 p.m. to 6 in the morning. That's my typical 4 days a week. I'm going out there, and that's the work schedule that I do. So, yeah.
So what do you, I guess, consider is probably the most challenging part of your civilian job?
The most challenging part? That one's hard, right? Because it's a very dynamic job, right? And that's one of the things I love about it. It's one of those things where, like, we face a lot of pressures just overall in that career field, being law enforcement, where it's like there's so many different things to pick. But like overall, like one of the more stressful elements right now is just our staffing levels. We're at a fairly low point when it comes to staffing. So, we can have one person call out and now people are getting held over just because of the amount of people that we have working. So that's kind of a source of stress at times.
Yeah. So, next week we're going to the elections, right? The voting.
Mm-hmm.
And are you and your teammates preparing, I guess, mentally for a little bit of more different, more challenging week?
Yes and no. It's not where I work in Pierce County. We don't have the same level and the same expectation, I guess, that like somewhere like Seattle would have going into this cycle for the possibility of civil unrest. It's always something we're prepared for, something we keep in the back of our minds, but it's not to the extent where, we have people on standby like Seattle does. So yes and no. So
about your military career, you're an M-Day soldier with a 122nd Theater Public Affairs Support Element.
Correct.
So what do you do when you're working drill or AT on orders?
So I'm a public affairs mass communication specialist now. So I started off my military career as a 91 Bravo, which is a wheeled vehicle mechanic, and I deployed overseas, had the opportunity to try this job out as a unit public affairs representative, and I absolutely loved it. So now, my drill weekend, I get to go out and I do my job every weekend. I'm out collecting content, taking photographs, conducting interviews, and it's just absolutely a blast. And so it all depends on, what the Guard is doing as a whole, right, mm-hmm. on a particular drill weekend. But if we're out doing something cool, we're going to try to have one of our people or myself out there covering it in some way, shape, or form, be video, be photos, be news stories, whatever the end goal is. We want to make sure that people know what the Guard's doing and why we're doing it.
Absolutely. No, that's great. Yeah, I tell folks that it's important to tell our story. And I know being public affairs, it's super busy because, mm-hmm. we have soldiers and airmen all across the state, the globe. And so you mentioned that you conduct interviews. So, I mean, is it you being interviewed now? Is it a little different?
It's definitely weird being on this side of the interview. I think it's kind of cool. It's interesting to see, like, what it feels like to be on this side of the camera, I guess would be the easiest way to say it. Because I typically am either doing the interviews or I'm getting people prepared for on-camera interviews with actual news agencies. So this is just kind of a polar opposite to me. So this is actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, this is good. No, you're doing great. So I'm gonna ask you probably the toughest question of the entire podcast.
Oh, no.
And that's, if you had a hype song, what would that be?
Oh, that's a heavy hitter. I'm definitely like a mood listener when it comes to music. Like, it all depends on what I'm doing. So if I'm going to the gym, I'm going to be listening to something. If I'm at work, I'm going to be listening to something completely different. It all depends on my mood. But I think it's going to come down to two songs for me, right? One of them, and this is a bit nerdy, it's My Shot by Lin-Manuel Miguel from the Hamilton soundtrack. Okay. I adore that song. I just really like it. I don't know why. The other one is I'm Still Standing by Elton John. That's one of those songs that, like, no matter what mood I'm in, no matter what I'm doing, as soon as I hear that song, I'm going to be moving with the beat. I'm going to be feeling a lot better. So,
yeah, that's awesome. So, I don't know the first song that you mentioned, but okay. I know the Elton John song.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Still Standing really well. That's amazing.
Incredible. Yeah.
And Pete, so what we need to do for the future when I ask that, we need to have that song, the song's ready, we just play it, buddy. So let's get back to, you know, your military career as an
NBA soldier.
So you deployed to Ukraine a few years back.
Correct.
Can you talk about, I guess, what you did when you were in theater?
Yeah, absolutely. So I deployed as kind of like an MOS immaterial job, which essentially means the job that I was doing overseas did not correlate to my actual military MOS. So I worked in the Joint Visitors Bureau there. So I was assigned as a driver. So it was my task to know basically the layout of this foreign country, know all the road regulations, know, you know, how to get A to B to C when you can't read any of the street signs. So our main goal was we'd pick up any sort of VIPs that were coming, be military, be foreign, be, you know, a congressional delegation, whoever was coming into the country to come see us. We would facilitate the transportation. The other people on our section would handle all the weird paperwork that had to be done on the foreign side to get them into country. And, you know, we would also facilitate hotel arrangements, stuff like that. So that's one of the ways that I got into being the unit public affairs representative over there, was because, you know, people weren't coming in and out of country every day. So I had some downtime, and I had become friends with the public affairs NCOIC, and he was running the shop by himself at that point. So at one point there was a mission coming up that he wasn't prepared for, or there was a mission coming up that we weren't adequately staffed for. So he handed me a camera kit and was like, you're going to go cover the 2021 Ukrainian Independence Day parade as a public affairs representative. So they tossed me a camera, put me on a bus, and I went out and I got a once in a lifetime opportunity to cover a major event that we were involved in, which was absolutely incredible. And that's really when I fell in love with the public affairs career field.
And so shortly after you returned from that deployment is when you started looking into public affairs.
Yeah. So I started the process when I was actually in Ukraine. I had some phone interviews with Colonel Siemendel, I believe at the time, Major Siemendel, and a few other people from the unit. They kind of got a feel for me, understood that, you know, this is where I'm at my career. This is where I want to be. And within 2 months of being back and into my old unit, I transferred over into the 122nd.
Here you are. Yeah, having a great time.
It's wonderful.
That's good. That's good. So for you in the 122nd, I guess, what are some of the highlights?
You know, it's kind of funny. I always like to say, like, being public affairs, I get to go out and do all the really cool training that the Army has to offer. And I don't have to do any of the terrible stuff associated with it, because at the end of the day, I have to go edit my photos, edit my video. So I can go out and be on this cool crew served range. But, you know, I don't need to be sleeping out in the field because I have all these other things to do. So it's kind of like playing a diet version of the Army, so to speak.
A diet version. That's well put. Okay. So now I always believe that, you know, you're a young man, young soldier, you know, young sheriff's deputy, you got a whole life ahead of you, you know. And so I always believe that, you know, for young people like you yourself, you need to have a 3, 5, 7, 9 year plan as far as what is your plan moving down the road?
Moving forward, I definitely am considering, you know, making the Guard a full-time thing. There's a lot of options to weigh just in this day and age for me personally, but I definitely do love the unit that I'm a part of, and the job I get paid to do my hobby, and I get paid to do my hobby in a really fun way, which means a lot, right? So it's something I could definitely see myself doing. So moving forward, right, I mean, I have this career and my other career, so there's a lot to choose from, right? Especially in my law enforcement job, there's so many different avenues to go. And right now, at least for that, I'm just kind of figuring out what I like to do, what part of the job I like the most, so I can kind of attack that avenue. So that's kind of where I'm at for that. And then, yeah.
And then possibly, you know, going back to school, you know, to finish out your 4-year degree.
Yeah, that's definitely something too. And that's one of the things I'm thankful the Guard, you know, has all these resources available for me, the tuition assistance, you know, the discounts on the in-state tuition. There's a lot to like about being in the Guard.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Jumping back to your civilian career, you know, I guess tell me about a time when you're on shift that was probably one of the most challenging moments as a deputy.
I'd say just how dynamic the job can be. It's very chaotic, right? And I mean, that's the nature of the beast in this situation. It's just one of those things where it's there can be a million and one things happening at once. I can think of a particular call. It was when I had first gotten back from some military training. I'd been gone for a couple of months and I'm responding to just a motor vehicle collision. But, you know, and this is one of my first semi-serious calls since being back, you know, I get there and, you know, start reading off the plates, making sure fire's coming because we have people entrapped in a car. And there's just a lot of, it's a very dynamic situation, but now, you know, I'm getting returns that the car is stolen. We have outstanding people from that car. So you have all of these different things going on all at once and trying to like balance all that. It can be challenging. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine. Yep. So with your career as a law enforcement officer, I mean, where do you want to take that? Are you, is that something you will take for the, you know, for the next 15, 20?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Okay. So I left construction to pursue this career path. And there was a lot of things I was really unhappy with just in my professional life when I was a construction worker. There was things about the job I didn't enjoy. It wasn't as stimulating as I wanted it to be. It didn't provide me the same sense of fulfillment that I got out of, you know, serving in the Guard, for example, right? So, you know, I kind of thought introspectively, I thought about what I look for in a career, what I wanted to do with my life. And I realized that I seemed to have this predisposition to be drawn towards civil service. And so it was kind of a logical path. And, you know, since I've been doing this job, I can't picture myself being anywhere else. It's one of those, like, it is just a really fun job.
Yeah, I can tell you really that you really enjoy serving. You know, yeah. I mean, serving our local community, serving the National Guard. I mean, that's obviously wearing two different uniforms. That's pretty tremendous. So thank you for your service in both
I appreciate
sides.
That, Chief. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. And then I learned that you have a brother in the Air Guard. Is that correct?
Air Reserve, but yes. Reserve.
Okay. So what does he do?
So I want to say that because he was originally a Fed Tech, now he's AGR. His M-Day job is a little bit different than his day-to-day job, but he's basically a cyber guy. So he handles help desk tickets, computer, anything to do with computers. And then I know he works on the communication devices in the big C-17s.
C-17, that's right.
Yeah, yes. There we go. Okay. I'm learning.
446, right? Across the street?
Yeah, the airlift wing.
There you go.
Man, he's gonna hate me for this.
Oh, he's gonna see this. Yeah, he's gonna he'll mentor you the right way on what he really does.
Yeah.
But maybe depending how you do, you know, today in this podcast, depending how Pete feels about your podcast, maybe we'll have the brothers on one day.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That would be fun.
I don't know if he'd like that, but it would be funny for me.
At least I'd love to meet him. Maybe we can, you know, talk to him about joining the Guard.
Oh, that might be a tough sell.
Maybe. What's his first name?
Kyle.
Okay, Kyle, we'll talk about the National Guard when I meet you. So let's take it back to when you were, you know, say in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look back, you know, say you're right before you graduated, you know, senior year of high school.
Yeah.
What would you tell your younger self today?
I can think of a lot of stuff I'd tell my younger self, but I think one of the most important things is just don't sweat the little stuff. You know, I spent a lot of time earlier on in my life, you know, too worried about this, that, and the other thing. And in the grand scheme of things, the things that I used to worry about, like, in all honesty, were irrelevant to what was actually going on in my life. And it would have been a lot easier if just to not sweat the little stuff. So
that's what the little stuff. I believe that too. Yeah. Sometimes especially my civilian friends that have never served in the military, they ask me, you know, how come, you know, things don't seem to really bother you, Alan. That's my first name, by the way. And I tell myself, you know, I've been through a lot, you know, especially when you serve for so long, we see a lot of stuff, right? Some, you know, mostly good stuff, but sometimes things that are not so good, and in the same mindset of don't sweat the small things, you know, always try to be positive and push through each day the best you can. I tell folks I have good days, not better days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So someone that's interested, you know, besides Kyle, who wants to join the National Guard, what would you tell that person?
I can think of a couple things I'd tell them. I think the first one would be, you know, have a reason for why you want to serve, right? Have an end goal, be it, you know, do you want to get college out of the Guard? Are you just looking to put on the uniform and give back to your community? But, you know, have that why. Have the reason why you want to come to drill. Have the reason why you want to serve. And it you know, in all honesty, can be a selfish reason. And I think that's fine. You know, I think if you're doing this simply to get college, that is A-OK. And you're still going to be a good soldier, a good airman. it's just one of those things is don't forget the reason why you put on the uniform every day or once a month, depending on where you end up falling in that spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. So being originally promoted to sergeant, as of what, about a month and a half ago?
Yeah.
Okay, no, congrats again. And then,
I appreciate that, Chief. Thank you.
Do you have the ability to, I guess, empower and mentor and guide anyone younger?
Right now, no. And that just a lot has to do with the way our unit is structured. We are a very officer heavy unit and we have very few junior enlisted. So it's one of those things where my unit is definitely unique in terms of the way that it's manned. So, but I also, you know, I'm fairly experienced now when it comes to the public affairs side of things. And I like to think I'm pretty decent at it. So I still get the chance to work with just my cohort and my peers. And, you know, it's a knowledge sharing thing, right? Like we all have our strong suits in the public affairs career field. Like I'm not the best at video, but we have individuals that are absolutely incredible at what they do when it comes to video production. So it's just kind of this big knowledge pool where we all just kind of help each other. So I think that that's really cool.
It is. So before you come to drill, you know, do you have to kind of mentally shift, kind of mentally prepare for, because it's a totally different world coming from the law enforcement world.
100%. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, I try to be unapologetically myself wherever I am. So it's, you know, it's not too big of a mental shift. It's just, I mean, it is a, but it is too, because now I'm going from, you know, work, which is more structured, less creativity when it comes to just, you know, handling my calls for service and what have you, to coming into this and being like, how am I going to create, how am I going to tell this story? Right. So it's like, it's almost like writing an English paper versus writing a, like a novel. I think that's a pretty good way to put it, because like, you know, I'm over here just simply telling the facts, telling the stories, taking these reports, what have you, in my day-to-day job. And then I'm over here trying to find a creative and inspired way to tell the stories of our soldiers and airmen. So,
okay. Now, you know, shifting gears slightly. So if you had a soldier and airman that confided in you that they were just having a really rough time, you know, it's because we all go through, you know, rough patches in our lives. I mean, they were, and you could tell they were, you know, whether they were a little depressed, down. I mean, what are some of the things you would say, or how would you encourage that person to be uplifted?
I think a lot of it would be just offering to listen, right? I think a lot of people don't have as good of a support network as they think, or they might feel that that's the situation. And offering to listen, you know, and truly listening to what they need, right? Do they need someone professional to talk to? Then I'll, you know, try to put them in touch with those resources, which the Guard has a ton of through JSS, through all these other things, Military One Source. There's all these resources available, but not everyone always knows about them, or they don't know how to reach them. So it's one of those things, like it's going to be listening to what the person needs and trying to meet those needs. So,
yeah, that's good. Yeah, I believe, firmly believe that, you know, for me, since I was an NCO, as a supervisor, and all through my leadership years at all throughout the different levels, you know, listening was the most important part. You know, I believe that highly effective leaders, they listen more and talk less. Because if I'm always talking, then I'm probably going to miss something, you know, so that's good that you mentioned about listening. It's key. So anything you think, me as your command senior enlisted leader, what are some things you think I need to focus on? Besides listening.
I think you do a great job listening, Chief. That one's hard, right? Overall, like, since I've been in the Guard, I've noticed there's, over the past 8 years now, give or take, there's always been an upward shift in the way things have been going. So I think, like, whatever current trajectory that we are on as an organization as a whole is overall beneficial. Like, I'm looking in, when, you know, we're trying to prioritize looking out like the 18, 24 months, what are we going to be doing and giving the soldiers this predictability and knowing? And I know for me, at least personally, that's always been something big. You know, when I came into the Guard, like I would never know what was happening. And, you know, little PV private first class Sproul was always just confused. And now, I mean, some of that was just the general confusion that comes from being that rank. But, you know, having that predictability looking down and knowing like, okay, this is the big events we have for annual training coming up. This is what we're looking at. And I think now, at least over the past couple of years, us overall as an organization has really started pushing that out. Like I know what I'm doing for annual training 2 years from now, right? And I like that a lot. So, like I said, the current trajectory I think we've been going just as a whole has been excellent.
Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, it's important that we keep our, you know, soldiers and airmen well informed. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, predictability and just kind of forecast, because for me, I'm not good with like ambiguity. I need to know what I'm doing, mm-hmm, moving 100%. Forward. Yeah, where which direction I'm going in, because, you know, it'll drive you crazy if I don't. Yeah. So you sound like similar. Yeah. Okay. Well, is there anything else you want to shout out to the crowd about, you know, anything obviously appropriate? Hi to Mom. Is she going to watch this?
I don't know.
She should.
I hope she does.
Yeah, yeah, and Dad.
No, I can't. I really can't think of anything.
Yeah. Well, I'll close us out on that. But, you know, this is my second podcast. You know, of course, you know, like we've talked about earlier, it's just it's not always easy being interviewed. It's not always being the interviewer, you know, but it's important for us to tell our stories because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that want to hear about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I truly appreciate, you know, all your hard work, your dedication, not only being as a M-Day soldier, but also out in the community as a deputy.
I appreciate that, Chief. Thank you.
That's tremendous. I would consider a double challenge with your occupations. So it's much appreciated. And when I was looking for somebody to interview, you know, man, you know, Colonel Seaman, I was like, I got a guy for you. And here you are.
That means a lot coming from him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great guy. Okay. Well, I appreciate everybody, you know, tuning in today. This is Sergeant Matt Sproul, and he's an up and comer. And it was tremendous to have you today.
It was tremendous being here, Chief. Thank you so much.
Okay. Ground and air power. Take care.